Thank you. I'd like to welcome everybody to C3 Kunana. It's a place to belong, a place to be planted, and a place to become all that God has purposed you to be. My name is Bert, and I get the absolute privilege to serve some amazing youth and young adults at C3 Frio and C3 Kunana, and I look after both the buildings. We have been trying to resolve that issue. Unfortunately, the tenants have not been of great help. However, it shall be resolved soon. I can't promise you a date, but it shall be. Who here is excited to be in church? Hey, I remember somebody once told me about how it, when I was in New Zealand, how it just rains and rains and rains, and even the summer it just rains and rains and rains. And I should tell them, I love the rain, I love the rain, I love the rain. I learned this, right? It's very important. It's from this message by Craig Rochelle. And even Louis Giglio wrote a book called Don't Give the Enemy the Seat at Your Table. And it's interesting, of what you say to yourself is how you carry yourself for the day. So guess what? It rains. And I love the rain. Because guess what? My day is not getting bad. It's getting better. Yeah. Amen? Amen? I'd like to thank Pastor Stephen and Unami for the opportunity to share on this prayer and fasting message. And prayer and fasting is a really important message in my life. I believe, I've always believed that, you know, science has its place, but the ultimate scientist is God. Because he can create. And trust me, when he creates, nobody can tell you how he's done it. You know, last week, Pastor Stephen mentioned that prayer is not random. Fasting is not a ritual. Together, they are divine tools and technologies of heaven that will unlock spiritual clarity, breakthrough, and alignment with God's will. It's very important to understand God's will. Why do I say that? Because I dream big. I'm a big dreamer. If you ever speak to me, and you ever know me, I do not dream for small things. I dream for really big things. But I've learned over the face of time to submit my expectation to God's will. So I might have big dreams and big expectations, but guess what? God's will is ultimate in my life. So I remember as a kid, I grew up in Mumbai in a very low socioeconomic background. So I'd say lower middle class. And I remember 20 years ago, I told my friends, I used to play soccer. I was a very good defender and still am. My favorite player was Jap Stam. So you definitely know what my favorite club is if you know the club he played for. And I told my friends a long time ago that I was going to go walk in the Theater of Dreams. So if you don't know what the Theater of Dreams is, it is the best football stadium in the world, by the best club in the world. They're not doing so well right now. But hey, we all have our ups and downs. And I believe in equity. So we need the other clubs to also make some money and get there and, you know, reach their level. Especially clubs like, you know, Arsenal. So I told my friends that I'm going to be there. On my trip to UK a couple of weeks ago, guess where I was standing? Unknown to myself, I said, I'm going to stand in Old Trafford. And I was like, God, man, you're funny. Because I remember saying this 20 years ago, and today I stand here in the Theater of Dreams, in United, right? So dream big, but always lay your expectations behind God's will. I always tell people, when you are prophesied upon, there are certain things you need to do in faith and action and move ahead in life. But I usually shelf that prophecy and do nothing about it. Because God has called me to serve the youth, to serve the young adults, to look after the buildings. So I focus on that. And whilst I do that, I keep praying about that thing that is on the shelf. And guess what? It happens. You know why? Yeah. He makes it happen. And sometimes he makes bigger things happen. So not only was I standing in the United Stadium, I was standing there with my son, and I got to walk my son through the tunnel that the players walk through. Come on. That being said, I'm always used to starting with a joke. And sorry, Elvis, sorry, Kaylee. I'm going to start with this. So Arsenal is a really famous football club. And they moved from Highbury Park. This is a stadium that they used to be at that housed about 86,000 players. They then moved to Emirates, And then they could house 100,000 people. You know why? Guess why? No, because they didn't have enough trophies. So they had a smaller trophy room and they could build a bigger stadium. So last week, Pastor Stephen said that prayer is not random, fasting is not a ritual. That prayer and fasting are spiritual technologies given to us by God. Who here loves technology? You all love technology, eh? No? No? Not right? Okay. So, if you're as old as me, you'd remember a time where there was this cassette player, right? And you had to record songs from the radio. So you had to push the play and the record button together, and then it started recording the song from the radio. And then you go stop, and at exactly the right time, you now have a cassette full of songs that you can listen for free in your Walkman. Yeah, you know that, right? This is before the Discman came. And it's really important to understand the importance of this, because for $19.90, you didn't have Spotify. You had to go to a shop and buy this whole cassette that had songs that you didn't like, and so if it's not your favorite song. Or a telephone. Who here has used a telephone that goes... Or even the ones when they just came into being, you know, you go, operator, can you connect me to this? And the operator delivered the message on the other end of the line. You know, now all I do, if you look at my phone, I hope it's on flight mode because I don't want her doing it right now. As I do is, hey Siri, call my amazing wife. And Siri goes, calling my amazing wife. Oh, he's doing it. Oh, she's just in the back there. And Siri does it, you know, if I've got to make that phone call. Or if I've got to send a message, I say, hey Siri, can you send me this message? And Siri sends me the message. Siri, can you write this to Pastor Stephen? Sometimes it makes a mess. And then I've got to explain to Pastor Stephen why I said all I said in the message. I'm like, boss, I was driving. But we see something very similar of God commanding things into existence. In Genesis 1, 3, 6, and 9, in the beginning it says, the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters of a formless earth. And then in Genesis 1, 3, 6, and 9 it says, then God said, let there be light. He spoke into existence and there was light. Then God said, let there be space between the waters to separate the waters of the heavens from the earth. To separate the waters of the heaven from the waters of the earth. Then God said, let the waters beneath the sky flow together in one place, so dry ground may appear. Later on in Genesis 1, 26 to 27, he says, then God said, let us make human beings in our image, to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. In Genesis 1:28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now unpacking this scripture helps us understand or unpack prayer and fasting in our life. It is important to understand this, that up until the fall, we had a very personal relationship with God. A relationship where he walked with us in the Garden of Eden. He walked with man. He walked next to Adam. The creator, the ultimate scientist, the ultimate savior. Like, I can't even imagine, you know. And guess what man does? I can do better. And takes things into his own hands. It was so close that when man chose to take matters into his own hands, that relationship became into a long distance one. We see through the unfolding of this in the Old Testament that up until Jesus and the Holy Spirit were given to us, we had prophets and we had priests who spoke to God at the altar of sacrifice, almost like an operator, transferring the message on the other end of the line for us. Unless it was specified or for a specific time. So there were times where Esther and the people fasted and there was this corporate fast. But for most of the times, it was only these prophets that at this altar of sacrifice spoke to God, communicated. However, when we were given the Holy Spirit as a helper, we were able to communicate, worship God at any given point in time, anywhere that we were. And it's funny because it's really hard to stand here and tell somebody that, you know what, I talk to God when I'm on the toilet. Ah, and you, some people are like, take offense to it. Oh, but he's all holy. When I used to be in the toilet, I'd be like, Mom, can you do this? Dad, can you do this? Oh, Mom, can you do this? That is the same exclusive personal relationship that God wants to have with us. That when you're in the car, we put away the distractions and talk to him. Communication. Like a father and a child, or a mother and a kid. You know, when you hold your child, your infant to yourself, and you speak to them in the night, and you comfort them, and they look at you, and they respond to you, and they may babble. That is the kind of relationship that God desired from us. So, and that is what he has given us with the help of the Holy Spirit. Jesus taught us the best way to communicate and command the power of heaven to its full potential was by using these spiritual tools. Because you know the disciples came to a point where they could not deliver somebody from what the boy was struggling with. And he says some of these things require prayer and fasting as a discipline. But the interesting part to understand here is that we know that God is sovereign. Do we all know what sovereign means? Do we all know what sovereign means? So if I have to put it in simple terms, it's the ultimate being. Someone who doesn't need anything. Yes? But yet Jesus, who was God himself on earth, through example shows us the discipline of prayer and fasting. He started his ministry, before he started his ministry, he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He countered the devil with scripture. Scripture is God's word. When we speak God's word, we speak that onto our lives. It's communicating with God. It's a form of prayer. And throughout his life, we see him going by himself to pray with the Father. We see him praying by himself more than him praying for others. It's always good to fill your own jar of oil before you give out oil. Because if you keep giving out oil and don't fill your jar of oil, guess what? You end up with no oil. But does God need our prayer to be able to move? We saw in Pastor Stephen's message last week of many examples in Scripture where God acted without anyone praying. Like creation, nobody prayed. When Saul was converted to Paul, nobody prayed. With Jonah and Nineveh, no one prayed. God engaged. God told Jonah, even though he was trying to run away. But the truth of the matter is that when God created us, and it's important to understand this, does he need us to move? The answer to this lies in this, is that when he created us, he gave us dominion over everything. He made us responsible. And not only that, he gave us the wisdom to innovate and create. He did this by intentionally showing us the need for partnership. He is a loving God. He's not a micromanager. Though he's sovereign and knows everything, he's given us the choice. He wants us, like we want our children, to come to us and ask us for things and communicate with us and have that relationships. That's the partnership that God desires from us. And we see that in the very beginning of time. Because we often look at the hint of how Jesus is represented in the Old Testament. We look at prayer, we look at fasting from the Old Testament onto the New. But even before that, even before Abraham, and even before when he created Adam and Eve and the fall was initiated, man was shameful. God knew that because he's all-knowing. But what does he do? He comes and engages in a conversation with Adam. Comes and asks him where he is. So that Adam could tell him that he's shameful. Adam could go and inform him or communicate with him of his need that he is hiding because he is shameful. And God goes out to make garments of the animal skin for them. But you see, there was an animal that was sacrificed to be able to hide our shame. It's through that that God was hinting us of Jesus. It's through that that God hinted that because of what man did, the partnership now desired the sacrifice to be able for us to have good communication with God. You know, it says in Amos 3, verses 3 to 7, can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? Does a lion ever roar in the thicket without first finding a victim? Does a young lion growl in its den without catching its prey? Does a bird ever get caught in a trap that has no bait? Does the trap spring shut when there is nothing to catch? When the ram horns blow a warning, shouldn't the people be alarmed? Does disaster come to a city unless the Lord has planned it? Indeed, the sovereign Lord never does anything until he reveals his plans to his servants and prophets. We're now in a time and age where the Spirit of God is available freely to everybody. Who here knows Nikki Gumbel? Nikki Gumbel? Alpha? The guy who started Alpha? So Nikki Gumbel, I was fortunate enough to be on a call with Nikki Gumbel with what we've been doing with Alpha and stuff. And I remember one of the leaders was like, oh, Nikki, we're so unfortunate, you know, that you're not there and we wish you could be there and you could lay hands and you could pray for us. And he was like, no, please do not put God in the box and please do not tell me what the Holy Spirit can and cannot do. Because we've seen him work in COVID over phones and over online and stuff. So the Holy Spirit is available. Even when you call somebody and pray for them, as simple as you say, come Holy Spirit, fill me. That is the prayer he asked us to pray. Come Holy Spirit, fill us. Fill this room. And it's as simple as that, that we are able to communicate with God. And we know that partnership is based on two. Yes, no? We know that, right? God desires that all of us be in communication with him. When Jesus died on the cross, his death covered that sin once and for all. That when we repent, we are now able to invite the Holy Spirit into our lives to be able to communicate better with God, to be able to communicate him with him in real time. And don't get me wrong, you have to read your Bible to be able to authenticate the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God and the Word of God don't contradict each other. So whilst God desires partnership and he wants us to communicate with him, he also wants us to read the written word of God, of what he has written. It is through this we then truly understand the person of the Holy Spirit, that it is not some random flowing around there. It's an actual person. And that he enables, he takes our requests to God. It says that sometimes we know not what to pray, and it is the Spirit that makes requests on our behalf to God. And it is through intercession that we learn to live in the kingdom mindset. So it says in Hebrews 7:25, therefore he is also able to save to the utmost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercessions for them. It shows us that Jesus, who lives forever, is constantly making intercessions on our behalf, basically communicating on our behalf. Like telling God, hey, I know that this is what Bert did. However, he's received me as his personal Lord and Savior. The exclusivity of me in his life is second to none. And so it's my blood that advocates for him. And so he's constantly doing that. He showed us that we also need to be constantly communicating with God, praying. Prayer needs to be simple. It can be you in the car, and you don't know what to say, and you say, thank you, Jesus. So I encourage, when we have our youth meetings or we have a lot of kids that we host, I encourage kids to pray, and sometimes they go blank because all they've seen through their entire life is someone pray a long prayer. And so they feel that they're not good enough to pray. So I tell them, say, thank you, Jesus. And that's it. I'll say, thank you for your mom and your dad. And that's it. You'll be surprised if you encourage them to only say thank you, Jesus, of how much they can pray. Because none of those kids have only prayed thank you, Jesus. So then they've gone out and prayed for the night. They've prayed for the people. But if we don't simplify it and treat him as our personal savior, treat him as a person that can come along with us anywhere that we are, we'll never understand what it means to pray. So we know that it is through prayer and being filled with the Holy Spirit that we communicate with God. So where does fasting play the role? You know, last week, Pastor Stephen spoke about interface and API. How many of you got that message? Interface API. Any IT heads here that got it? Interface API. In simple terms, okay? Its functions is based on communication being received in real time and then replying back with the solution. In much more simple terms, any connection, no matter how many channels it goes through, it's a two-way communication. It cannot be more than a two-way communication. It has to be a two-way communication. Because when I send something from one device to another, even though it goes through a lot of phases, it goes through a server, one end to the other. Then the server has different processes in it, or different GPU, oh, no, I won't complicate it, different systems in it. They're kind of, it's still a two-way, because depending on where that message needs to be received, it goes through from that to the other. It's always been a two-way communication. For that communication to be able to work effectively, the system has to be free from all disturbances. Have you ever called somebody, like if you're as old as me, and you've called somebody, you know the transition from wired phone to wireless phone? When they were initially doing the wireless phone, you could always hear that, hello, hello, and somebody's like, where's my tomatoes? And I'm like, wait, I don't know. I've not called what tomatoes? I'm like, Kaylee, can you hear me? Kaylee, can you hear me? And you're like, Bert, what, who, which car? And you know the voice. Has anybody been in that phase? That's distractions. When we were doing stuff at the Frio building and we were kind of trying to upgrade the internet there, I was in Bunnings. And I was shopping for conduits, 20 mil conduit pipes. So I shopped for all these pipes and there's all these cables and I'm standing there almost waiting to finish. And this guy walks up to me and is like, dude, what are you doing with those? I'm like, oh, it's just the internet connection and we're doing this. And he's like, oh, but you've got the wrong conduits. They're water conduits. The conduits that you're looking for is in the electric aisles. It's like, oh, what's that for? I learned that there's the conduits used for electricity or communications and water is different. Because the mere purpose of the electrical conduit is to block out the electromagnetic static so that your connection is uninterrupted. It says in Ephesians 2, 1 and 2, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world, the ruler of the kingdom of air, the spirit who is now in work in those who are disobedient. You know, Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus of how Satan has power on earth and how some people who don't recognize Jesus as their Lord and Savior are currently influenced to a great extent by him. However, this distraction that Satan carries is the same for believers. It's been the same since the very beginning. Yeah? We sometimes try to say that my bigger problem, so I usually believe this, and this is my opinion, that Satan doesn't cause the big problems in your life. You know why? Because if he causes the big problems, you go to Christ. You know what he does? If I have to give you the very simple example, he probably distracts me, make me wake up late. Now he's made me wake up late. My focus has gone from reading the Bible to getting ready to go to work. And then that a week later becomes a habit, and now I'm okay with not reading the scripture first thing in the morning or doing my devotion first thing in the morning. It's these little distractions that come our way that change how we communicate with God. And in Matthew 6:16, it talks about the focus of fasting to be internal and not external. That fasting is to put away the external distractions and to focus on the one that sustains life. So though we've learned to pray, we've learned to read our scriptures, we need to put our physical distractions away. It is fasting that enables us to deter the vices of Satan and put our focus on communicating and partnering with God with zero interferences. You know, because ultimately, the Bible calls us to be ambassadors. We're called to testify Christ. We're called to be ambassadors for Christ. Your purpose is not merely prayer and fasting. You're called to be heirs. You're called to be equal in the kingdom of God. But you're also called to testify Christ. But you're also called to be transformed. Because Paul says, as we see in the mirror, we're all slowly transforming into Christ-like. Because when Christ comes down, we're all going to be transformed like him. He's not going to get transformed like us. We're going to be changing to the Son of Man because we're all going to be like him. Because that is what heaven is. And so we are given a kingdom responsibility. we are called to testify Christ. As believers, what he has done in our life, we are called to love, outpour God's love to people that surround us. We are called to intercede. Pray for those that hurt you. Bless those that persecute you. We are called to minister because we are a royal priesthood and a holy nation. And that circle of influence of what we are called to minister is based on the mantle. Pastor Murray, when he was here, he did mention that we are all called to evangelize. We are all called to prophesy. We are all called to teach. We are all called to equip. But we may not necessarily have the mantle of being an evangelist, a teacher, a pastor, an apostle, and a prophet. However, we're all called to do a little bit of everything in the world that we live in. Praying and fasting enables us to understand our mission as ambassadors better, which then enables us to communicate, intercede, and minister to ourselves first and to those around us according to God's will. We can only, through prayer and fasting, put aside our selfish desire. Through fasting, we put aside our selfish desire and pray heaven on earth prayers. Pray heaven on earth prayers. Pray for God's will. Pray that has a tangible shift in your life and in the life of those that surround us. And I really love that explanation from last week. If you haven't listened to Pastor Stephen's message, I would highly recommend of going back and listening to it. You know, he said the Holy Spirit is the API given to us to carry our messages. We, the believer, are the client. We make the request. Heaven is God's presence. That's the server room where the answers come from. Prayer is the request you send. Fasting helps us clearing and focus that improves the connection, and the Holy Spirit, which is the ultimate API, carrying our request from earth to heaven and bringing back the response. Jesus himself said in Matthew 6, and he instructed us, he said, when you pray, when he was teaching us to pray the Lord's Prayer, not if you pray. He also mentioned when you fast, not if you fast, in the scriptures later there. Now that we've seen what prayer and fasting does and how we are called to be ambassadors, it's important to understand your mantle that you're called as an ambassador. So your priesthood that you're called to is based on the mantle that you carry. And understanding this is very important because we see a very good example of this in the Bible. In Acts 19, 13 to 16, some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day, the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I know. But who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. Now the seven sons of Sceva would have obviously grown in the temple because Sceva was a high priest. So they would have grown knowing the scripture because in that times, the Jews, the boys, when they grew up, they knew the scripture. They knew the scripture in the back of their head. So when they would have seen Paul do this, they would have desired for this. Now is this a wrong thing to desire that you see somebody demon possessed and you want to deliver them? Is this a wrong thing? I don't believe so. I think it's a good thing to desire spiritual gifts. It's a good thing. But was it their mantle? Was it their calling? Was it the responsibility? Because your mantle is your calling and your authority. And this assignment is based on the level of intimacy and sacrifice through prayer and fasting that will then decide the responsibility that you are given. But let me tell you this, no matter big or small, the responsibility that God entrusts you with is equally important. So I remember this time, right? And I remember the more I was walking in obedience, the more God revealed his plan to me. And as I was trying to figure out this journey through prayer and fasting and through my life, One of my senior pastors in New Zealand told me the story. It's an amazing story. So this preacher, and he was going to preach in the school a long time ago. There were about more, I don't know the exact number, so I'd say maybe more than 5,000 students in the school, because I think schools back then had way more than 5,000 students. And the school had advertised, the university advertised and did all these things, and everybody was excited for this preacher to come, and the week before the preacher came, he fell sick. So they sent his 2IC. Guess what? Everybody was sad now. They're like, oh, we're all excited. This man of God has come to minister to us, but he's sick and he's sending his 2IC. The guy comes, musters the courage, preaches, and then leaves. So he goes back to the senior minister, and he's like, the senior minister asks him, how many people out of all those kids gave their life to Jesus? Guess how many? How many? One. One. Only one. But do you know who that one was? Billy Graham. That one person who gave his life to the Lord was Billy Graham. So, sometimes it may not be your calling to pastor 100 people or to prophesy over people's life. Well, you can prophesy over somebody's life, but not be a prophet or a pastor. But the assignment God places on your life is as equally important. And prayer and fasting helps you sustain that priesthood. That is the responsibility and the mantle in your life. That your prayer should be, that let me not leave this earth without fulfilling your will that you have for me in my life. Fasting helps you sharpen your discernment. You start hearing clearly. It's like taking the radio antenna and putting it really high up and you get clear connections, you know? It takes you to that higher level. It increases your oil. So you carry more spiritual weight. It strengthens your authority. You do not break under pressure. It deepens your intimacy with God. So you start ministering out of overflow. It is to such a fact that you'll end up in a position where even if you do something wrong, guess what happens? It turns into good. And as the music team comes up and we start worshiping God again, tomorrow is when we start our prayer and fasting. Biblical fasting is food. And sometimes you can't. You can't really, because if you have a race or you have something that you're doing that is already planned or scheduled, you can't really give up food. But let this be between you and God. Ask Him, what do you want me to? So I get hypoglycemic. Kind of my sugar levels drop really and I've got to eat. So I ask Him, God, when do you want me to fast? He says, last meal till 12. There's a time where I used to be able to fast till about last meal to 6 in the evening without food and water. And then this one year that I started hallucinating. And through the end of my fast, I was talking to Peter Rabbit and Santa Claus. It's a true story. So I asked God, why? And He told me, you're just pushing yourself. I've not asked you to do this. There was a time when He did. There was a time when He didn't. And I thought it was necessary to do it. Now when I ask Him, He says till 12. He says a meal, or don't eat that. It's come to a point where I'm standing in the store and I ask Him, can I buy that bottle of Coke? And He says no, and I walk away. Guess what? I'm not going to be none the richer or poorer if I buy that bottle of Coke. But it's the practice of listening to Him. And so I would encourage you that as you have those pieces of paper with you, if you don't have one, Justine's got a heap of them with her. If you could grab that and pray and ask God, what is it for these 5 days that you want me to fast for? And then write down where you were seeking your breakthrough. We've got the Zoom prayer that we've invited the youth and the young adults to be part of. I would hope that all of us, that the whole connection, that Zoom comes and says, hey, there's too many people. We need another connection. That each and every one of us can make it. But you're not going to be judged if you can't make it. The desire to pray and see difference will be the level that you step into. And so my encouragement would be that we as a church pray for breakthrough together. Because sometimes you may not need a breakthrough, but there's people sitting next to you that may need a breakthrough. And if this is you, that you've not received Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if this is you that I will say, because I remember reading the scriptures this morning, and we usually always do the altar call, and one of the things we ask in the altar call is, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you know, can you pray with us? But then we also ask you to recommit, and I couldn't really wrap my head about that. And this morning I was reading the book of Acts, where Peter was preaching soon after he healed the guy outside the temple. And it's funny. He says, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive up until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." And I was like, wow, God wants us to come back. God wants us to have that exclusive relationship with him. So why don't we all just stand, and with everyone's eyes closed, if we can pray as the music team sings, and we worship God. Dear God, if you can repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for the cross. And we thank you that we have new life through you, Jesus. That Jesus, you are my exclusive Lord and Savior. And we will worship you all the days of our life. Just before I pray again, if this is you, and if this is you recommitting, or if this is you making Jesus exclusive in your life for the very first time, if you can, with every eye closed, if you can raise your hand up so that we can help you with some resource materials. Heavenly Father, we come before you in humility and reverence, acknowledging that you are the author and perfecter of our faith. Jesus. That your word says that if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, Lord, we respond to that call today. We humble ourselves. We turn towards you. We turn towards your presence. Jesus, you said, when we pray, not if. When we fast, not if. And so we fast and we pray and we choose to enter into this divine partnership with you, where our prayers connect heaven with earth, where fasting sharpens our hunger for you, awaken our spiritual appetite, increase our capacity to do more, to obey your voice in everything, to seek you in all things, to seek your face above everything, to delight in your word, walk by the Spirit and not by our flesh. Lord Jesus, we are here. Use us, shape us, transform us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb.